morning's scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 8, verses 9 through 18. It's Luke 8, 9 through 18. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked, and with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. And no man, when he hath lighted a lamp, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but putteth it on a stand, that they that enter in may see the light. For nothing is hid that shall not be made manifest, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinketh he hath. It's Luke 8, 9 through 18.
Good to see all of you this morning. Interested in your, I'm appreciative of your interest in spiritual things. Would invite you to take out your Bibles and follow along. We've got quite a bit of talk of a text that I want to talk with you about in our study this morning. And in particular, if you'll notice in the text that was read in your hearing, we see in chapter 8, verse 18, the expression, take heed how ye hear. We understand the importance of listening to right things. Taking heed to what we hear. That is an admonition given in the New Testament as well. But here, take heed how ye hear. It's important that we listen well. And we learn how to listen. Any of you ever been accused, perhaps by your spouse or your parents, you're just not listening. Sometimes we don't listen well. Sometimes we become easily distracted. Sometimes we're just simply not paying attention. And I want to talk with you about some of those things this morning in light of the things we've been talking about in our Sunday morning and Wednesday night Bible class. This particular chart looks familiar to you. You'll note that during the period of the captivity, the prophets wrote time and time and time again unto the children of Israel, the people of God, and they would not listen. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and read with me beginning in verse 8. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8. There the text tells us, Isaiah 9, verse 8, get on the right page. It said, the Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in pride and in stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen, but we will build with hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, but we will put cedars in their place. Therefore Jehovah will set up on high against him the adversaries of reason, and will stir up his enemies, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. When we studied this text in our Sunday morning and Wednesday night Bible study, we noted that the attitude of the people was, God, you can tear it down and we'll build it back. You can tear down our bricks and we'll build it back with hewn stones. You can tear down our sycamores and we'll put back cedar trees. Whatever you can do to us, we can outdo it. We can put it back better than you can tear it down. But the prophet Isaiah was sent to call upon them lest they be destroyed. Now understand that, beloved. Amos makes it clear as well, as we discussed in our Bible class just a few moments ago, when he said that God had sent cleanness of teeth among them in chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Because they didn't have bread, they were starving. And he said in verse 7, "And I also have withholden the rain from you." They didn't have water to drink. And in verse 9, he said, "I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, the multitude of your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees hath the palmer worm devoured, yet you have not returned unto me." In the next verse, he tells us about pestilence and then about war. And he said, "I've overthrown your cities as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, yet you have not returned unto me." What's the problem when we see this statement, "You have not returned unto me," occurring over and over and over again? It was not that God had not communicated with His people, but they would not listen. And consequently, they were to be destroyed because they simply would not listen. In verse 12 it says, "Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." I want to suggest to you, beloved, it was not because the people did not know the law of God, or that it had not been revealed or made known to them. God had revealed His law. He had pleaded with them through the prophets to correct their lives, and they would not listen. Now, beloved, is there a lesson in there anywhere for us? This chart, as you know, we've seen many times in our class, and we note that Judah certainly would be destroyed. Assyria destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel when they conquered the city of Samaria, and Isaiah tells us that Assyria was used as the instrument of God's wrath. Why? Because they would not listen. Now, I found this to be an interesting chart. Someone has done a study on this and has suggested that we spend 70% of our time communicating, about 30% not communicating. But 70% of our time communicating in such means as listening, writing, reading, or speaking. But look at the study. 45% of the 70% time you spend communicating is spent in listening. Now, if you don't do a good job with that, you're not really taking things to heart, are you? I want to suggest to you, beloved, as we continue our study, that this statement appears a number of times. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You remember concerning the words of John the Baptist, he said that. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You read that in Luke's account of the parable of the sower, Matthew's account, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." In the explanation of the parable of the tares, again, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And numerous times. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 2 and chapter 3, to the seven churches of Asia Minor, after admonition is given to them, we find this statement, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Why do you suppose that that admonition is given so frequently in Scripture? Because we have trouble listening. We have trouble listening. All of us do. And we frequently have trouble listening to God. Let me suggest to you that sometimes we walk out the door and we say, "Good sermon, preacher." And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I like to know that I've done a good job, or at least I'd like to think so. But what do we mean when we say that? Have we listened carefully to what the preacher has said? Has it pricked us in some way to cause us to want to live better? To change things in our lives that are not right, and we know they're not right, and do we see those changes manifest in our lives from day to day? Yeah, it's easy to say, "Good job, preacher," and those amount to nothing more sometimes than words. Because the job that is intended by the preacher is to motivate us to live a different kind of life, and we're not listening. Do you see anything wrong with that? Well, what's the problem involved in that? You see, obviously what has been said or being said is something that is important. It's worthy of my attention. I preach sermons in times gone by, "What the Preacher Sees." In fact, I think we have a bulletin article on our website, "What the Preacher Sees." And you know, from this vantage point, it's interesting what you see. And it's interesting what you don't see. I mentioned a number of times that I like to see and hear the Bible's pages turning. Folks now have electronic Bibles, and so you don't hear it, but you notice people paying attention. I like to see notebooks and pieces of paper and pencil where people are writing down. We provide the outlines so that you can write down on the sheet of paper notes, things that you want to remember. Why? Because what's being said hopefully is very important. And we're not here just to spend 30 minutes listening to somebody speak, or 45 as the case may be. You see, the point is to learn something, to learn what God wants us to do. I want to suggest to you that there are at least three types of hearers. Turn your Bible, if you will, to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews chapter 5. The Hebrew writer is writing to them things that are very, very important to them relative to the priesthood of Christ. And he's likening the priesthood of Christ to that Old Testament priesthood of the character Melchizedek. Now, we don't know much about Melchizedek. Genesis chapter 14 and Hebrews chapter 5. One other passage, as I recall, is about all that's said about this Old Testament character. But we do know that he was a priest and he was a king. He was a very important, prominent character. And the priesthood of Christ was to be like that Old Testament priesthood of Melchizedek. Psalms 110 is the other one. I couldn't think of it. But when the writer is expressing this in verse 11 of Hebrews 4, he said, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard of interpretation, seeing ye are become dull of hearing." Do you get that point? You see, he's not talking about the complexity of the subject matter. He's talking about the attitude of the hearers. There's something wrong with the way they're listening. You have become dull of hearing. Look at his explanation. "For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and to become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil." What's the problem with these listeners? The problem was they'd become dull of hearing. What does that mean? They never heard it before? Oh yes, they've heard it before. Well, what's the problem? "By reason of time, you ought to be teachers," he says. "But now you have the need to hear it all over again, even the fundamental principles." Well, what's the problem? They have allowed themselves, he said, to become dull of hearing. You ever become dull of hearing? Some of you are school teachers. You ever notice the expression on someone's face when they're not listening? When they're dull. We know what that means. Those of you who have taught school, you know exactly what that means. When people are dull of hearing, they're just not paying attention. And you can see that. Let me suggest to you, beloved, preachers can see that too. But moreover, the Lord knows that. When we have allowed ourselves to become dull of hearing, we're not listening well. Jesus spoke concerning that in Matthew the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13. He said, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them." What's Jesus' desire when he expresses words to these people? That they would hear with understanding. Sometimes, I'm convinced, we hear, but all we hear are just words. Something goes through our ears, but there's not really been communication taking place, because we're not challenged in our own thinking. to change the things that we know needs to be changed. Now, when we become dull of hearing, what does that do to us? Does it have any consequence? Sure it does. It prevents us from understanding God's truth. We're just not listening carefully. In this text of Matthew chapter 13, it prevented them from turning that they might be healed. Now, the healing that he's talking about is being saved. They wouldn't listen. They weren't listening carefully. They weren't hearing with understanding. Question, you want to be that kind of a listener? You just hear words. It doesn't challenge your thinking. It doesn't cause you to change your thinking. A second kind of listener. We see Paul speaking of in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Keeping in mind that Timothy is preaching in the city of Ephesus, and Paul is writing to him, telling him what his job as a preacher is. And he said in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. What's Timothy's job? His job is to preach the word. At all times, in season, out of season, as you heard me say many, many times, when they like it and when they don't like it. That didn't originate with me, but that's what he's teaching. In season and out of season, at all times, you preach the word. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and turn aside unto fables. What kind of hearers were these? Did they want to hear the complete revealed word of God? No, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear what makes us feel good. Now, question, are you that kind of hearer? We don't want to hear anything that's going to challenge our thinking or make us change our practice. You see, all I want to hear is what makes me feel good. When I lived in Arkansas, I was talking with a preacher one time who made the comment that he believed that the job of a preacher was to make people feel good about their religion. Now, my friend, that's not what this text says. I understand there's joy in being a Christian. I understand there are numerous commandments to rejoice. That's important. But that good feeling doesn't come from just hearing whatever I want to hear. Do we not see the difference? Some had itching ears. We studied about those in our text this morning from Jeremiah chapter 5. And we know that there were prophets and there were priests who would sell to the highest bidder. They would say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And the boldness of Isaiah's statement in chapter 30, verse 10, as he represents the attitude of the people toward the prophets, as they said, prophesy not unto us right things, prophesy smooth things. Now, beloved, I want to ask you, is that the kind of hearer that you want to be? What is the consequence of that? Well, it turns you from the truth, Paul said, unto fables. You want to see evidence of that? Go back to the text of Jeremiah, as we discussed in our Sunday morning and Wednesday night class. In Jeremiah chapter 23, look if you would please, beginning at verse 27. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 27. The Old Testament prophet speaking concerning these false prophets said to them that think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams which they tell every man to his neighbor as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Now these were not the prophets of God. These were false prophets. What did they do? They caused the people to forget God. If you'll drop down in the text to verse 32, there we read, Behold, I am against them that prophesy lying dreams, saying Jehovah, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their vain boastings. I want to ask you, beloved, is this not a consequence? When I become a hearer with itching ears, I'll hear what I want to hear. And I'll do just precisely what I want to. And I'll forget God. And I'll forsake Him. Do you want to be that kind of hearer? Do you? Well, look further. Three types of listeners. Number three. In the text that was read in your hearing just a moment ago from Luke chapter 8, you'll note in verse 13, Luke chapter 8, verse 13, as he describes the parable of the soils or the parable of the sower, he said, "And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And that on the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, bringing forth fruit with patience." Do we not see the three types of listeners in this very passage? Some who hear, but it didn't take any root. Some who heard and it took root, but for a while, and then in time of temptation they fell away. And then you've got the good and honest heart who heard and brought forth everlasting fruit. Now I want you to look at an illustration of that. In Acts chapter 17, we read of the preaching of the Apostle Paul in the city of Berea. Acts chapter 17. Now there's a contrast in this passage. In Acts chapter 17, we note that the Apostle Paul has come into the city of Thessalonica, and he went into the Jewish synagogue in the first few verses of this text. And as he went into the Jewish synagogue, they weren't interested in what he had to say. The fact is, it tells us in verse 3, it says that he opened and alleged that it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom, said he, I proclaim unto you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But look at verse 5. But the Jews, being moved with jealousy, took unto them certain vile fellows of the rabble, and gathering a crowd, set the city on an uproar, and assaulting the house of Jason, they sought to bring them forth to the people. Well, they weren't interested in what Paul had to say. They were interested only in punishing Paul and anyone who would give him comfort. But as you drop down further in the text, pick it up at verse 10. In verse 10 it says, "And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, when they were come thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews." You see, that's what they did in Thessalonica. But in Berea, it's different. In verse 11, it says, "Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures whether these things were so." Now, do you see a difference in hearing in Thessalonica versus Berea? Here in Berea, the text tells us that they examined the Scriptures daily. The 1611 translation of the King James, and what I'm reading, the 1901 translation of the American Standard Version, tells us that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Well, that's a great compliment. But the New King James translation uses this expression, which by definition defines what the Bereans were. If you have a lexicon, you can look up this word that's translated noble, and you'll find that fair-minded is indeed an accurate representation of what the Bereans were. They were fair-minded. Well, what about those in Thessalonica? Well, they were not fair-minded, were they? The Apostle Paul took the Scriptures and opened and alleged from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Well, what did those in Thessalonica do? Some believed, but others had this attitude: I believe what I want to. But the Bereans, they were fair-minded. They were willing to get out their Bibles. They were willing to open their schedules, if you please, to make time to examine the Scriptures every day to see whether or not the things even the Apostle Paul was teaching them, to see if they were true. Now, what kind of hearer do you think they represented? The good and the honest heart. Now, again, we raise the question, what kind of a hearer do you want to be? Now, why is that important that we answer that question? When we think of being the right kind of hearer, Jesus said, take heed how ye hear. Well, why is that so important? Let's turn again to the text of Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, reading beginning in verse 16. Verse 16. Now, this is a continuation of the thought that we noted a few moments ago. In verse 16, Jesus said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And you'll note that he just described some whose heart was waxed gross and their ears were dull of hearing. But he said, you're blessed. Why? Because you see. Because you hear. Take heed how you hear. Now, if we listen carefully, what do? We learn some things, don't we? We learn things. And often we're very impressed. We're blessed by the things that we learn. You know, sometimes we learn something even after studying for many years, and we learn something that from that point on, it just jumps off the page at you every time you read it. For example, I'm going to try to stay on task here, but just to give an illustration. There's much that's said in the Scriptures about the promises of God, and I love to talk about the promises of God. But when you open your Bibles to the great chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, and read about these great characters of faith, we read of promises that God had made and some who took advantage of those promises. But then we read in verse 39, it says, and these all, having had witness borne to them through their faith, received not the promise. Now, I'll tell you, folks, I preached for a lot of years before I noticed the singularity of that word. They received not the promise. You talk about folks like Abel, Moses, Abraham, and such characters. You'll notice that there are distinctions made in the text about what they received. For example, when you read about Abel and Enoch in the earlier portions of the chapter, when you read about Abraham and Sarah, verse 13 tells us these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Well, you know that God made three promises unto Abraham. He promised to give him a certain land. He promised to make of him a great nation. And then the third one, he said, in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. But Abraham died before a great nation. Abraham lived, as this text tells us, as a sojourner, a pilgrim in a strange land. He didn't receive the land. But then you read about other characters in the text, as you read about Moses, for example, in verse 23. And as you drop on down in the text to verse 32, which says, and what shall I say more? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Stop right there. Well, we can read about some now who are part of that great nation of people. And later we read here in this text of some who actually lived in the land that God promised unto Abraham from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt. They received promises. But my friend, as great as these men were, and as great as their faith is, the point of contrast is to these Hebrews, they received not the promise. What does that mean you've received? You've received something greater than what all these Old Testament characters received. So you don't want to leave that. You want to embrace that. Now that's the lesson of Hebrews chapter 11 and on into the beginning portions of Hebrews chapter 12. Now, you see why Jesus said that you're blessed because you have eyes and you see. You have ears and you hear. You can learn some wonderful things. There were those who had not learned because they had not been taught these things. But now what about you? Look, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1. This is a familiar text to most of you. In 1 Peter chapter 1, He's speaking concerning the salvation of our souls in verse 9, and he continues in verse 10 saying, concerning which salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto them, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did point unto, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them, to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto you did they minister these things, which now have been announced unto you through them that preach the gospel unto you by the Holy Spirit, sent forth from heaven. Notice now, which things angels desire to look into. Beloved, when you read in the Scriptures and read of the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation, that's the subject matter he's dealing with, as you'll notice in verse 9. The prophets were given bits and pieces. They desired to look and see the whole, but they weren't given that. But bless your sweet heart, you are. You have the entirety of God's revelation. We notice in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, that even the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, angelic beings, as we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, desired to know how God would complete His plan of redemption. And when it was finally made known through the preaching of the gospel, we note that even the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places stood in awe of the many-sided wisdom of God. So, do we not see that it's important for us to hear? Because in hearing, we're blessed. We understand some things. We need to carefully listen to what God's Word has to say. Why else? It's essential to the saving of our soul. We often look at passages such as Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that emphasize the importance of faith. Faith. Now, such a simple word, and such a broadly used word, but such a misunderstood word. Faith. We often speak of faith as if it's just something ambiguous. You know, it's this vague cloud that just kind of grows out of us. No, that's not what faith is. Faith is described in such passages as James chapter 2, where one is told, do this, and he does it. Why? Because he believes what God said. Case in point, when you come over to the great chapter we noted a few moments ago in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham offered up his son, Hebrews chapter 11, or verse 17 beginning. Abraham offered up his son. Well, now think about that. Abraham's an old man. He's got one little boy who grows up into a lad, the promised son. And God said in Genesis 22, take now thy son, thine only son, even Isaac, and take him upon the mountain that I will show thee, and offer him as a sacrifice. Now, just how quick would you be to do that? You see, God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Wait a minute, if I kill this boy, there won't be any descendants. God said, I'm going to give your descendants this land to live in. But wait a minute, if I kill this boy, there won't be any descendants. God said, in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. But wait a minute, if I kill this boy, there won't be any seed. No, Abraham didn't reason like that, did he? If you look at your Bible in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, you'll note there that Abraham believed what God said. And he took his boy upon that mountain, and he was willing to sacrifice him, believing that God could raise him from the dead and still do what he promised. Now, friend, that's what faith is. That's what it is. It's believing what God said to the extent you'll do what God says for you to do. Now, if we're saved by grace through faith, and Ephesians 2 tells us that, what does that mean to us? Well, we can talk about the grace of God, how that God favors us with something that we haven't earned. That's what our salvation is. But how do we access God's faith? The text of Romans 5, 1 and 2 tells us that we have access into His grace by faith. Romans 1, tells us. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We see the importance of faith. But friend, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And hearing by the word of God. But what if you're not a good hearer? What if you're not listening? Well, it doesn't produce faith then, does it? Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And if I'm not listening, what happens to my faith? You see the analogy, don't you? Faith comes by hearing. But if I'm not listening when God speaks, I'm not studying, I'm not engaged in the things that we're studying, then my faith is not going to grow. Now John, I've got this text on the board, so I have to deal with it, I'm sure. In John chapter 20, in verse 30 and 31, John said, many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life in His name. Now, what if I just don't read the evidence? I'm just not too interested in that. What happens to my faith? How then can I be saved? You see the point. You see, your listening develops your faith. Now, does your listening hinder your faith? If you're a dull listener, it does. If you're a prejudiced listener, it does. You see, if you're not listening at all, your faith is not going to grow. It's essential to bearing fruit. You remember the honest and good heart we talked about a moment ago? That honest and good heart represented those who heard and they brought forth fruit. The honest and good heart who hears, he hears with understanding. He makes the changes that are necessary. You see, bearing fruit comes from understanding. If you don't understand, you're not going to do, are you? We need to understand. But only by listening well can we understand God's grace and therefore be motivated to bear the fruit that He wants us to bear. Why is that so important? Well, you see, a good listener, he has the tools to help him to be faithful. In other words, good listening is essential to prevent apostasy. That is, to prevent you from falling away. It might be of interest to you to note that throughout the bulk of the epistles written to preachers and written to churches, most of that information is how to be faithful. And so as we turn to such passages as the Hebrew letter, where these Hebrews were being very much tempted to return to the practices of Judaism and leave their faith in Christ, what does he tell them? In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, he said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away from them. You want to be faithful? Got to listen. Take heed how ye hear, Jesus said. Poor listening is often the first step to apostasy. It's interesting to me, sometimes when I go to some place for a gospel meeting, you can somewhat readily, especially in a Bible class or various discussions, get a feel for the knowledge of the group as a whole, the Bible. The knowledge of the group as a whole, of what the Bible says. And it's disappointing. Some of you have come from backgrounds where you've left that background because you weren't getting anything. Teaching was lacking. And you want to know more than that. That's a commendable quality for you. But suppose that you just stay down here as a babe. You don't grow. What's ultimately going to happen to you? Well, if you don't grow, your faith is not going to increase, and bless your heart, it don't stay the same. It's going to decrease, and you're going to fall away.
Now, you don't want that to happen.
So what do you do to prevent that? You want to immerse yourself in what God's Word has to say. And I don't know what that is, but I know how to get rid of it. Okay? Now, why is it important? Well, to avoid rejection and condemnation.
You see, we're talking about your soul here. In Matthew chapter 10, reading beginning at verse 14, Jesus said, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, as you go forth out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city." Some wouldn't listen. Don't want it. Not interested in it.
And so, my friend, these face condemnation because they won't listen. When Paul was preaching in Antioch of a city, we won't take the time to look at all of these, but in Antioch of a city, we noticed that the Jews, many of them wouldn't listen. And so the text tells us that he turned to the Gentiles because they would listen. They rejoiced that they were able to hear the Word of God. The Jews in the synagogue, they had no interest in it. Now, why is that so important to you? Well, he that receiveth or rejecteth these words of mine, in John chapter 12 and verse 48, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, if we're not listening, we're not making application, then we've got a problem.
You see, if we are not listening, then we stand to be condemned. Now, what can we do to become a better listener? I want to answer. You ever watch any news programs where a particular issue is being debated back and forth, and before long you've got two or three people talking at the same time? Well, it's obvious that nobody's listening. Ask you a more personal question. You ever have a disagreement with your spouse? A disagreement with your spouse. And find then that at one point in the discussion, both of you are talking at the same time. Or perhaps you find that what you're doing while they're talking is planning what you're going to say. And what happens to the resolving of problems?
Well, you see, that's out the window. We call that now an argument, don't we? It's turned into just a fuss. So, if I want to be a good listener, I need to stop talking and listen. James says in James chapter 1, verse 19, "Let every man be slow to speak, slow to wrath." But we need to be quick to hear. Listen. Nehemiah talks about that in Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 3. This is the period of time after the period of captivity, when they've come out of Babylonian captivity, and how that they were to listen to God's law being read because they've not heard it in a very long time. Does the proclamation of God's Word deserve your attention? Well, certainly it does. What can I do to be a better listener? You have this point on the on your chart. Remove the distractions. I wonder just how much learning, and again, those of you who are school teachers may make application of this, how much learning takes place in the classroom when the student only hears one out of every 10 words that you've said. Now, I wonder just how much communication is taking place when we listen to what God says, maybe two or three words, and then we're not listening for a while. And then we're engaged again, and then we're not listening for a while. You ever try to follow a sermon like that? We're just not listening for a while. And the idea of connecting the dots and learning the lesson, well, we've missed that completely. Distractions. I was talking with Caitlin the other day about homework. And I said, "You know, Caitlin, when I'm in my office, I'm generally by myself. And when I study kind of one thought to another, and sometimes I distract myself." You ever do that? I get over here chasing a rabbit on something that I'm interested in learning about, and before long, I'm way away from what I started out with. Or perhaps you're engaged in something and you get a phone call. That ever happened to you? You get a phone call, and it takes you 30 minutes to figure out what you were doing. You ever been there? Distractions. Sometimes we're easily distracted. And when it comes to listening, sometimes we are so easily distracted. We're commanded as we observe the Lord's Supper, this do in remembrance of me. Question. You ever been distracted? When you're observing the Lord's Supper and there's a noise, what's that? And now we're no longer thinking about the things that we should be. Or we look down and we see a rip in the carpet or a stain on the carpet. And our minds are distracted. We're thinking about this, no longer this. Are you that easily distracted? I am. I'll just be honest with you. Now, what do we need to do if we want to be a good listener? I need to remove the things that are distracting and focus. Listen to all that's been said. Sometimes it's real easy to draw an erroneous conclusion because I didn't hear all that you said. And I'll tell you what, folks, a little word like not makes a great big difference. We need to hear all of what God has to say. Read along in your Bible. When the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy to give heed to reading, that's what he's talking about, reading the Scriptures. We need to encourage our children to do this. What else can we do? Listen with faith. Much to be said about that, but we're going to pass that on for now. I'm tempted to talk about it, but looking at the clock, we'll pass on. You see, if we don't listen with faith, then we're not going to learn the lesson. Just not going to learn it. What can we do? Listen with a mind to act. That is, make an application. When you read in Matthew chapter 26 concerning Jesus observing the Passover feast with the disciples, very important point just here. It says in verse 22, Matthew chapter 26, verse 22, it says, "And as they were exceeding sorrowful and began to say unto him, everyone, is it I, Lord?" What's he told them? He's just told them that one of you is going to betray me. Now notice, if you will, the question is, Lord, is it I? Peter didn't stand up and say, Lord, is it Bartholomew? You see, the application has to be personal, doesn't it? Lord, is it I? Sometimes we want to point a finger at somebody else. Hearing must be accompanied by the doing if it's going to benefit us at all. James talks about a hearer that doesn't do. And he's likened to a man that looks into a mirror and as soon as he walks away, he forgets what he looked like. He hasn't made any application. Now sometimes we're like that. As important as good listening may be, we're blessed only when we do what we know is right. And you've listened well to the lesson this morning. I appreciate your indulgence. And hopefully something has been said that will help us to be better listeners. Because we're commanded to take heed how ye hear. We've just got to do that. And maybe I'm talking to someone in the audience this morning who has listened. And you've listened well, not just to this lesson, but to God's Word. And you realize that what you're doing is not acceptable to God, and should you die today, you'd be lost. Perhaps the reason is you've never obeyed the gospel. You need to correct that, beloved. Jesus said that we must believe that He is the Christ, or we'll be lost. We must turn from sin, or we'll perish. We must confess our faith, or He'll deny us before His Father. And we must be baptized for the remission of our sins, was the command given to the Jews in Acts chapter 2. Now, if you've not tended to that, you need to tend to that. Maybe you've done that and you've not lived an acceptable life before God. You've become unfaithful. Perhaps it's because you've just not been listening. If it's your desire to correct that this morning, we'd be happy to pray with you and for you to that end. That your sin might be forgiven and you can be right with the Lord. If you be subject to the invitation, make it known. Come to the front while together we stand and sing this song.